السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة، إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون. علماء کرام, most respected brothers, our sisters who listen, our receivers, and all Channel Islam listeners for this Jumu'ah. Ayat and the verses of Nikah you have been listening to many, many times. And the different sayings of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to marriage and how the husband and wife should be respecting each other. They should be having compassion, love, kindness and mercy for each other. How there must be unity of hearts. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he has given us guidance in every aspect of our life. When it comes to marriage, he declared it, as you just heard in the Nikah khutbah, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, meaning the Prophet of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he declared that this marriage or Nikah is my way of life. It is one of my sunnats. Now we know that the prophets of God, they are very close to God Almighty Allah. They are very, very close. And the greatest of all, the final messenger, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know the closeness with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Yet he is undertaking this institution of marriage. Because God Almighty, or as we say Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he has created human beings and he knows the weaknesses of man. He knows the desires of man. He knows what the inclinations of the human being is going to be. So this instinct that Allah Ta'ala himself has put into man, now there must be some fulfillment of this instinct in a way that is permissible, in a way that does not affect the spirituality of the person. Because the difference between the Muslim and a person who does not believe in Allah Ta'ala, or does not believe in the day of judgment, does not believe in life after death, does not believe in the prophets of God, in the angels of God. The difference is this, that the Muslim, he believes that this world is a temporary world, it's a transitory world. It is not a place in which the person has been sent just for the gratification of one's nafs, or one ego and one passions. It's not just for that. There is a need that has been placed in man, that there is a need for food. There is a need for clothing, there is a need for shelter, there is a need for transport. Now all these things are basic needs of a human being. So therefore Islam has not ignored these basic needs. In fact, we are allowed much more than our basic needs, provided it is within the parameters of Sharia. However, what we are not allowed is to go beyond the boundaries and beyond the limits. For example, this instinct that Allah Ta'ala has placed in man of sexual gratification. Now there is nothing wrong with that. Allah Ta'ala himself has placed it, otherwise there would have been no procreation. Now therefore one author or one commentator of one of the books of Hadith Sharif, he says that what is marriage? He says marriage is a union of two souls. Marriage is a union of two souls and two bodies for procreation. Two souls for love. And two bodies for procreation. That is what marriage is. He says it's a union of two souls for love, muhabbat. And that is what Allah Ta'ala declares in this ayat of the Quran Sharif, which I recited before you. In that Allah Ta'ala himself says that that it is one of his signs. Wa min ayatihi, it is one of his signs in this chapter, Surah Ar-Rum, many signs of the Creator have been given. So Allah Ta'ala, He declares, Allah the Creator, He says, that of His signs, it is one of His great signs, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا, that He created for you spouses of yours, amongst yourselves. That means Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He created spouse. Everyone knows, especially all those who believe in the books of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that the first creation, the first human being to be created was Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. And of him, Allah Ta'ala created Hawa as his partner and as his companion. Now, although they were at that time in paradise, they were in Jannat, there were so many different bounties that they were enjoying, but there was something that was missing and that was lacking, and that was a companion and a partner. So therefore Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala created Hawa from same man, from humankind, because if the partner was not from humankind, there would have been no compatibility. If the partner was not from humankind, there would have been no compatibility. You are all understanding what I am getting at. So therefore Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala created, and He says that this is from His signs that He created your spouses from amongst yourselves, meaning from humankind. And then He gives the purpose of this creation of this human being, and then his spouse. What is the purpose? Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. This is the purpose. Say, so that you may find, just to give you the gist, there's no time to go into any detailed commentary of these verses, but Allah Ta'ala, the creator of human beings, He says Himself, He says, what is the purpose? لَتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so that you may find tranquility, so that you may find that some kind of solace, some kind of comfort, because when the husband and wife are living a happy and a peaceful life, when both are fulfilling the rights of each other, when there's compassion, when there's kindness, then there is a kind of tranquility that the person experiences. Those homes, as I have mentioned many times, become paradise on earth, in which home the husband and wife are living happily. There is unity between the hearts. There will be sometimes some kind of differences, there will be some kind of little ups and downs. But if there is this realization that we have been married, and it is an order of Allah Ta'ala, and that this woman who was a total stranger, or this man who was a total stranger, it is because of the permission given by the Creator Himself that this marriage took place. So therefore, when they realize that we are given this permission by Allah Himself, so then they will go out of their way to fulfill each other's rights. So therefore, they will overlook the shortcomings, the weaknesses and the faults. So here He says that it is so that you may get tranquility. Now, if a person is not getting tranquility, and yet he is a married person, then there is something seriously wrong on one side or the other. And then immediately after that, Allah Ta'ala says, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً, and He put between your hearts love and mercy. Now this love and mercy is also from Allah Ta'ala, the Creator's side, that total strangers, if they make nikah, if they marry, if they undertake this sacred institution of marriage, they don't live their life in a way of sin and disobedience of Allah the Creator. So then what Allah Ta'ala does is that He puts mercy and love between the hearts. Therefore, you will find that if both the parties, and if they are Muslims, they are believers in Allah Ta'ala, and they are fulfilling the commands and the laws of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then they will be going out of their way to fulfill the rights of each other. And when they do that, they will find mercy, they will find kindness, they will find compassion. The husband is concerned about his wife's welfare. He is not going and engaging in other kind of illicit relationships. He is not having other marriage. He is not engaging in other kind of relationships outside marriage, which is going to affect this marriage. The person is obeying Allah Ta'ala. Then Allah Ta'ala Himself puts muhabbat, love and affection between those hearts. So this is one of the signs that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has mentioned, that it is of His signs. And therefore He says that in these, in this creation of human being, and then his spouse, and after that this marriage and nikah and everything else, if we go into the details, then Allah Ta'ala says it is a sign for those people who reflect, those people who ponder, because we truly believe that we are the creation of Allah Ta'ala and that we haven't just come into existence on our own. But immediately after that verse, the next verse, because this nikah has taken place, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has blessed them with a marriage of bliss and happiness. Immediately after that verse, the next verse, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And from his signs are the creation of the heavens and the earth. The weakness of the Muslim today is that we don't ponder over this creation of Allah Ta'ala. People want to say, well, people say, how can we get to know Allah Ta'ala? How can we know that Allah Ta'ala does exist? Then we say, you will not see Allah Ta'ala with your naked eyes in this world. How can we see Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, who is such a great creator, who is almighty, all powerful, all hearing, all seeing, all knowing? And he has created the heavens and the earth, human beings, animals, creatures. Look at the colors of the fish in the sea. Right in the sea they are being created, and look at the colors. In the same way, look at the animals in the jungles. Look at the zebras, look at the lions, look at the tigers, look at the cheetahs. Look at the different creatures. Look at the sky, look at the sun, the moon, the stars, look at the waters of the ocean. So we will not see Allah Ta'ala with our naked eyes, but we can see him in his creation. If we want to really recognize that, or we want to get to know the existence of Allah Ta'ala, then in our bodies, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. In our own bodies, look at our heart, our liver, our lungs, our brains, our mind, and our every part of the body, research upon research upon research. There is just no end to research. And every time they are coming up with something really which baffles the human imagination. So who is it that in the stomach of the mother is giving such kind of shapes and form? The thumbprints, it is a scientifically proven fact that no two persons' thumbprints are alike. Billions of people came into this world and billions of people left this world. Sometimes one mother, she has 10 children, 15 children, but no two children are born with the same thumbprint. And again, it is in the darkness of the mother's stomach. It is not outside where there is bright light and where we are informing the person, the designer, that we already have these designs in existence, so therefore your design must be different from this design. In the darkness of the womb of the mother, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is designing. And billions of people, but no two persons' thumbprints are alike. In the same way, no two persons, even iris of the eye is alike. Look at the scanning that they do in the immigrations nowadays. Clearly proving that so many different things of the human being are not the same. It is not the same. So therefore Allah Ta'ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And of his signs is the creation of the heavens and the earth. Now in the heavens and the earth, where can a person get to know all the knowledge? But if we have to ponder, reflect, meditate, then we will realize that he is a great creator. He is a powerful, almighty God who has created the human being. And therefore it is only appropriate that this human being who has been created, he should recognize that Allah, and then he should worship the Allah in the manner that he himself has ordered. So, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. We can go in great detail in this, but what I want to get at is the next part of it. وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. And in the variations of your languages and your colors, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that in this are signs for those people who have knowledge. That means for the people of knowledge, for the people who know, then there are great signs in the variation of your languages and your colors. Look at the dogs, look at the cats, look at what the other animals. My Shaykh used to say that if you have a dog, whether the dog is of South Africa or whether it is of Japan, it is of China, or it is some other part of the world, all dogs will make wow, 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 we won't understand anything. It's one language they speak. In the same way, if there are cats, then any part of the world you go, the cats will make meow, meow, meow. It's one language. So Allah Ta'ala says that in this variation of languages, there are different languages, yet all are created from Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. Our great-great-grandfather was Hazrat Adam, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and from him after that the progeny spread. Now one father, one mother, it was Adam alayhi salam and Hawa. So we should have had just one language existing in the world. But Allah Ta'ala says that, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, it is from His signs that He has created these variations in the languages of the people of the world. So many times one language even dies. One language is dead. People were speaking that language and it dies. But suddenly you will find that a new language has evolved. There are so many variations. Go around the world and it gets surprises us. Just take the Arabic language itself. Take the English language. Take the other languages. Wherever in the world you'll go, you'll find different dialects, different kinds of pronunciations and different kinds of presentations. So therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that these differences in your languages, it is a sign of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that He is existing, He is powerful, almighty, and He has created this and He has made people speak different languages around the globe so that you may recognize Allah. That look at it, from one father and mother they came, the progeny spread, the after generations, different languages in the world. Therefore, we have got absolutely no right to criticize any language also. All. Thereafter, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, and alwanikum, and the colors, the variations in the colors also, it is a sign of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's greatness, His superiority of all creation. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's, His might, His, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is inviting us towards recognizing Him, pondering and reflecting over this, that look at the colors around the globe. Different people of different colors. We have white, we have brown, we have black, we have all kinds of colors, different people in different parts of the world. Allah ta'ala says that these are all signs of His creation. That's all. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says these are signs of Him being the creator. We must ponder and reflect. Therefore He says it is a, in it are signs for those people who have got knowledge. That means those who have got knowledge, they will not make use of these type of things for superiority and inferiority complexes. They will not think that I am superior because of my color. I am superior because of my language. I am superior because I reside in a certain country. I am superior because I have great wealth and great property. And I am superior because I have great chain of degrees to my credit. Nothing like that. Superiority and inferiority is based in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala solely on that person's piety, righteousness and taqwa. If that person has got righteousness and piety in him, then that person is held in esteem in the eye of Allah ta'ala, whether that person is black or whether the person is white, whether the person is brown, whatever color, country the person hails from, whichever tribe or nationality he may be belonging to. But if he has got belief and faith in Allah Ta'ala's oneness and greatness, he believes in the hereafter, he believes in the day of judgment, he believes in all the prophets, and he believes in Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as the last and the final messenger, and he obeys Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in all aspects of his life, then that person is held in esteem in the eye of Allah. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. So therefore this nikah is one of those things that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Sharif as His ayat, as His signs, that in it are signs for those people who reflect. There are so many signs in it. The husband and wife, each one has been given different direction. What should they be doing? How they should be behaving? And then it becomes a means of protection from zina or adultery, which is considered as a very, very serious sin in the eye of Allah ta'ala. People talk about zina, why the punishment is so severe. Indeed, adultery, the punishment in Islam is very severe. But it was the same, look in the books of the past. In the same way, this punishment is so that a person may have some kind of confidence and trust. The person may feel happy and proud that this is my child. Because what's going to happen is, if we're going to have a free reign, every person can just have any kind of relationship with any woman, then we can see what the consequences are. Look at the large number of illegitimate children in the world. And they have to provide homes, they have to provide shelter. And there is nobody that really considers them as their child. Every person feels free. So therefore this institution of marriage, which in many countries is dying down, wherever it is dying down in whichever religion and whichever community, then look at the consequences of that. Now, Islam wants purity of thought, purity of mind, purity of action. Islam wants to teach us some give us such kind of teachings, or Islam gives us such teachings and such direction, that if the whole community has to make amal on it and practice on it, then there will be nothing but peace and happiness, contentment and satisfaction. The problem is that a small percentage of the community practices. Large percentage of the community does not make amal and practice on the teachings of Islam with regards to marriage, with regards to upbringing of the children, with regards to fulfillment of the rights of parents, of neighbors, of society, of the Muslims, of the non-Muslims. Now all these teachings of Islam, when the large majority of the Muslims, they do not practice upon it. So the impression that the person from the outside gains is that there is no difference between us and the Muslim. Because whatever we are doing, if we are engaging in adultery, fornication, and watching all the porn sites, and going to the clubs and discos and cinemas and nightclubs and everything else, then what is the difference? Because my friend who is a Muslim is doing the same thing. If I am going to the gambling den, my friend who is a Muslim is also accompanying me. The only thing that a Muslim seems to be doing is now and again he seems to be making some salah or prayers in the masjid. Now that is not Islam, just prayers in the masjid. Islam is a way of life. So this nikah institution, there's emphasis that is placed on it. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has given us direction with regards to everything. The choice of the groom, the choice of the bride, and the marriage itself. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says the best of marriages is that marriage in which the least expenditure, the least difficulty is experienced. Then again, after that, when it comes to the dowry, there is guidance with regards to the dowry. Then the association and intimacy with the wife, there's great amount of direction. Then the rights of the wife, the rights of the husband. Books are filled of Islamic jurisprudence on all these issues. So therefore, when a person is getting married or when he's entering into nikah, then it is not just the two words that the person says, I accept, that is not sufficient. It means that I've accepted this woman as my wife, or she has accepted him as the husband. So now each one has to play his role, fulfill the rights. Obey Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Learn what deen of Islam is and then practice upon it. And then inshallah that marriage will be a happy one. The home will be a happy one. There will be peace, there will be tranquility, and there will be that love which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala talks about. May Allah Ta'ala make this marriage a marriage of bliss and happiness. Bless them in unity, compassion, kindness, love and affection for each other. And throughout the world, all those people are of marriageable age and they have the ability, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala must give them the tawfiq and the grace to get married. All those who are delaying their marriages, son has to finish a course, daughter has to finish some course. Then they have to, after that, set themselves up. They have to work for many years to be able to afford one house and then a big car. Thereafter, they will get settled and married. Then we know what is happening. There's no lack of evidence. Everybody knows what is happening. How much of abortions are taking place? How many illegitimate children are being born? And how much of headache and pain for parents? Now, all these things we all know. So the solution to that is get back to the Quran, get back to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then we all will find a life of peace, happiness, content. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain and the suffering of mankind around the globe, whether they are believers or disbelievers in Allah Ta'ala. But when there is suffering, when there is hardship and there is pain and problem due to drought, famine, earthquake, disasters, then we must pray that Allah Ta'ala remove those difficulties. And especially the ummah of Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam in different parts of the globe.